हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर डिस्कसिंग भगवद गीता सेकंड चैप्टर। इन द प्रीवियस सेशन वी कवर्ड अप टू 30th श्लोक। फ्रॉम 31st वर्स ऑनवर्ड्स वी विल सी। इन द फर्स्ट 10 वर्सेस ऑफ दिस चैप्टर, सेकंड चैप्टर, वी हैव सीन अर्जुनस फर्दर कन्फ्यूजन्स डिस्पाइट कृष्णस चैस्टाइजमेंट। And finally, Arjuna accepted Krishna as his guru. And Krishna started speaking from the 11th verse of this chapter. So Arjuna, he had this confusion in his mind whether to fight or not. So fighting is proper or improper, fighting with my own relatives. And he was overwhelmed with compassion for his own relatives. He was lamenting. So Krishna told Arjuna, it's not worth lamenting for the dead body. So when the soul has departed from a body, mourning for the corpse is natural for any average living being. But it's not very intelligent. Just by mourning for a long time, definitely the feelings of separation are there. But mourning for a long time, the person will not come back. Okay, so one has to at one stage philosophically reconcile the fact of life that a person who has entered a material body cannot live in that body forever. The person has to quit the body at one stage. Once the tenure of that person within the body is finished, so the person has to quit the body. So this is inevitable change of bodies, transmigration of bodies that a conditioned soul undergoes. Okay. So Krishna said you should not lament unnecessarily, and also understand that the soul is eternal and body is perishable. If they don't die today, they die some other day. Okay. So in the second chapter, 11th verse till 30th verse, Krishna explained the science of soul based on Sankhya or Jnana. Jnana is knowledge. Sankhya is analysis of matter and spirit, or material body and spirit soul. So knowledge of material body and spirit soul, or analysis of spirit and matter, is this section 2.11 to 2.30, and where Krishna described various characteristics of the soul, and he also mentioned the inevitable change of bodies that is very natural and one has to tolerate it, and one who tolerates these dualities, inevitable dualities, is eligible for liberation. Fine. And we have also discussed several characteristics of the soul. Now, after explaining the perishability of body, eternality of soul, and we cannot avoid our prescribed duty of fighting, and it's not worth lamenting. Basically, the essence of these 20 chapters is these 4 points. Body is perishable, soul is eternal, it's not worth lamenting, then you cannot avoid your prescribed duty of fighting. Now, Krishna, after giving such high knowledge, he gives some little lesser topics in the next section. So from the 31st verse till 37th verse of this chapter, Krishna speaks Sakama Karma, or in other words, Karma Kanda. Karma is an activity, Sometimes in different contexts this word karma has different meanings. Sometimes karma is meant to be any activity, work. Sometimes karma is a fruitive activity. Fruitive activity means you work with a fruitive mentality. You are intending some result, right? You are expecting some result. So that is fruitive activity. Okay, and sometimes karma could also mean the reaction for an action. Karma is an action. Karma is a fruitive action in specific. Karma could also mean reaction for an action. Or karma could be the whole chain of actions and reactions. The whole concept of working and getting a result for that work could be called karma. Right? It all depends on the context. Okay? In what context it is action, in what context it is reaction, in what context it is like bondage in this chain of actions and reactions, we can understand based on the purports of acharyas. Now in this section we see sakama karma. Karma is activity. Sakama karma means doing that activity with some desire inside. So for example, in Arjuna's context, activity is fight. So he has to fight, and that fight can be done without desire, and fight can be done with desire. So fight can be done with detachment from the outcome of the fight, whether it is victory or defeat. I am detached. So that is nishkama karma. But I am attached to victory. So that is sakama karma. So Krishna is speaking some lesser activity here. So here karma means prescribed activity in specific, not any work. And karma also has some different suffixes and prefixes. Karma is activity or action. And akarma is inaction. Vikarma is forbidden action. All this we will discuss in the later chapters and later sections. So in 2.31 to 37, we are going to discuss sakama karma, or performing prescribed duties expecting enjoyment. Okay? And the gist of this section is Arjuna's prescribed activity is fighting, right? So if he performs this fighting, the result could be of two types. Number one, victory. Number two, death. There is nothing like defeat and no death. It could be, one may be defeated, he may not be killed. But a kshatriya who enters the battlefield, he does not show his back to the enemy. Okay. So in that sense, he has to fight till death. Generally, he will fight till death. Unless the opponent does not kill him and then makes him a subordinate or makes some friendship or whatever. That's a different, there are different cases. So either he will win or he will lose his life. Okay. If he wins the battle, he will enjoy the kingdom. And if he loses the battle, or if he dies in the battle, he will attain heavenly kingdom. So one who fights a religious war, one who does his prescribed duty of fighting, a kshatriya who does his prescribed duty of fighting in the war without avoiding it, so if he dies in the battle, he can go to heaven. So whether you lose or whether you win, you are going to enjoy. Either Arjuna, earlier in the first chapter, Arjuna said that I cannot enjoy. So he has some doubts about the enjoyment after this battle. Right, you remember? So Arjuna was saying that I cannot get any enjoyment even if I am victorious. So Krishna says in this section, forget about victory. Even if you are killed in the battle, you will only enjoy. If you win the battle, you will enjoy on earth, earthly kingdom. If you are killed in the battle, you will go to heavenly planets and enjoy there. So better perform activity. Okay, prescribe a duty. So let's begin. 31st shloka. I just spoke the gist of it. We'll go into the details. 31st. Svadharmam apicha vekshya navikampitum arhasi dharmyadhi yuddhat shreyonyat kshatriyasya navidyate Swadharmam apicha aviksya. Apicha aviksya means consider. You have to deliberate on this. So considering this fight as your swadharma, dharma, duty. So it is your duty to fight. Specific duty as a kshatriya is to fight whenever there is a need. So considering your specific duty as a kshatriya, na vikampitum arhasi. Second line. Krishna says, you should not hesitate to perform this fight because it is your prescribed duty. So vikampitum means there are some reservations in doing this work. So na vikampitum arhasi means you should not hesitate to do your prescribed duty of fighting. Swadharmam apichavesha na vikampitum arhasi. Dharmyadhi yuddhat shreyonyat. Shreya, it is better for you to perform this yuddha or war or fight. Dharmyad, it is according to religious principles. You should do it. Then shreyo anyat kshatriyasya na vidyate. Especially because you are a kshatriya, you don't have a better duty than doing this. You may propose that I will go and become a beggar and then start begging and living, earn my livelihood. That doesn't work. It's a specific duty as a kshatriya, better do it. Okay. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, kshatriyas are specifically trained to kill in the forest. Not like a hobby or not like a just unnecessary killing, that is not recommended. But sometimes it is necessary to punish and even kill people also if needed, if they are miscreants, if they are disturbing innocent people. So that job is done by a kshatriya, and kshatriya has to be trained in killing and fighting. So a kshatriya cannot intend to go to forest, okay, and just live like an ascetic. So kshatriya would not go into the forest and challenge a tiger face to face. Kshatriya would go into the forest and challenge a tiger face to face and fight with the tiger with his sword. So kshatriyas are specially trained for challenging and killing because religious violence is sometimes necessary. Okay. Ahimsa has its place. It's a very divine quality. But if himsa becomes a necessity, especially a kshatriya or an administrator or a king or a ruler should not hesitate to do that violence. It's not unnecessary violence. It is religious violence. It is a necessary violence. It is a violence that is done to protect dharma and to protect innocent people from adharmic people. So that kind of violence is necessary. War has its role, okay, even in Vedic society also. So by saying this, Krishna wanted to inspire Arjuna to fight. However, here there is a keyword in the verse. Swadharmam apicha aveksha navikampitum arhasi. Swadharma literally is your own specific duty. Okay? And that swadharma is of two types. Specific duty. One swadharma is on a material plane, another swadharma is on an eternal plane or spiritual plane. Okay? So Arjuna is eternally a living entity and or any kshatriya for that matter. Okay, any human being or any living entity for that matter. Let's consider human beings. Every human being is certainly a soul and part and parcel of Krishna. Potentially a devotee of Krishna also. So swadharma on a spiritual plane, considering one's constitutional position as a soul, on a spiritual plane, that soul has a swadharma to serve the supreme soul Krishna. That is bhakti. So performing bhakti or devotional service unto Krishna is our swadharma on a spiritual plane. But when the soul is embodied in a body and performing a specific activity as a kshatriya or a brahmana or a vaishya or whatever, as a manager, as a teacher, as an employee, as an employer, as a farmer, so there may be hundreds of job profiles. So then there is another swadharma pertaining to that particular body. Okay, so that is called material dharma. So here Arjuna is playing the role of a kshatriya and his swadharma is to fight. But on a spiritual plane, the swadharma of everybody is to perform bhakti. That is savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaji. The paro dharma, the supreme duty of the entire humanity is to perform bhakti unto Krishna. However, every human being has a specific duty of either fighting or teaching or farming or business, whatever. There are different duties. So on the bodily plane, Swadharma is called Varnashrama Dharma, or man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. Okay. So there are different Varnas and Ashramas in the Vedic society. So the duties prescribed according to one's Varna and Ashrama becomes Swadharma on an external plane. But on a spiritual plane, Swadharma is Bhakti to Krishna. 32nd verse. Yadrichaya chopapannam Svargadvaram apavritam Sukhinaha kshatriyaha partha Labhante yudhamidrisham Yadrichaya chopapannam Svargadvaram apavritam. In the 32nd verse, Krishna is saying, so yadrichaya means of its own accord, without you endeavoring for it. Yadrichayapa upapannam. Upapannam means arriving. So fortunate kshatriyas receive the opportunities to fight religious battles of their own accord. They don't have to pursue them. So fortunate kshatriyas. So Krishna says, happy are those kshatriyas for whom such fighting opportunities come unsought. Without you seeking for it, the opportunity has come. It has arrived. It's not that Arjuna was instigating this fight. So Pandavas tried a lot for a peaceful coexistence. Devotees or noble people prefer peaceful coexistence, but demoniac people prefer war and fighting with each other, quarrel with each other. So you exist, I will also exist, and you live according to the quota that is given to you in Krishna's system, God's system. I will live according to my quota. You have your quota of enjoyment, I have my quota of enjoyment. You have your property, I have my property. Let us coexist and cooperate with each other. That's what devotees prefer. That's what Yudhishthira Maharaj was preferring. That's how Pandavas were preferring. But Duryodhan was not agreeable for a peaceful coexistence. He was preferring a war. I have to exist, you cannot exist. That is Duryodhan's mentality. Okay, so peaceful coexistence is not preferred by people who have pride, greed. Duryodhan was greedy for the kingdom. Right? So now, without Arjuna's pursuing for a fight, it just has come, and it's a religious battle. So happy are those kshatriyas to whom fighting opportunities come unsought. And what will those fighting opportunities do? Sukhinaha kshatriyaha partha labhante yuddham idrisham. And he says svargadvaram apavritam. So the heavens, the doors of heavens get opened for those kshatriyas who get opportunities for religious battle. You didn't seek the opportunity. Opportunity came on its own, and doors of heaven are open for you. Fight in this religious battle. Even if you die in this battle, you can go to heaven. So just, it's a very wonderful opportunity. If you die in this battle, the destination will be heaven, no doubt about it. Enjoy, he says. So as supreme teacher of the world, Lord Krishna condemns the attitude of Arjuna, who said, I do not find any good in this fighting. Earlier he said, Nimittani cha pashyani viparitani cha keshava. Okay, I don't find any good in performing this battle. I only see opposite results. Nimittani cha pashyani viparitani keshava. In the first chapter, Arjuna was saying, you remember? Okay. So Arjuna was saying that, proposes here out of ignorance only. He wanted to become non-violent in discharging his specific duty. So for a kshatriya to be on the battlefield and saying that I have to be non-violent is philosophy of fools, Krishna says, proposes. So you can't be standing on the battlefield and then say non-violence. Then why you are on the battlefield? Okay. So for a kshatriya, that cannot be, that's not suited. Okay. So, if he should conquer enemies, he would enjoy kingdom. If he dies in the hands of enemies, he will enjoy heavenly kingdom. So, better you fight. So, this fight is opening doors of heaven for you. However, as I said, these are little lesser arguments compared to what Krishna has already spoken. Krishna was convincing Arjuna to fight in the previous section based on divine knowledge of soul and body. You see? So with knowledge, you should fight. That's the message earlier. Now, Krishna is saying, he is speaking in a very low terms, on sakama karma terms. Okay? You want enjoyment, you will get enjoyment. Whether you win or lose, you will get enjoyment. Don't worry. Fight. So here the driving force in this section for fighting is enjoyment. Earlier knowledge. That's a jnana section and this is sakama karma section. You see? So this is not the ultimate message of Bhagavad Gita. The seven verses, whatever Krishna says, it's not the ultimate message. Many places Krishna speaks about karma yoga, jnana yoga, sakama karma, nishkama karma, Ashtanga and all this. But it's not the ultimate message that Krishna wants to give. Ultimately, Krishna wants us to take to the, bring us to the process of Bhakti Yoga. Okay? Yoga means connecting with the Supreme. If we try to connect with the Supreme through fruitive activities, it is called Karma Yoga. If we want to connect with the Supreme through philosophical analysis, it is called Jnana Yoga. If you want to connect with the Supreme through meditation on Super Soul, it is called Ashtanga Yoga. And if you want to connect with the Supreme through Bhakti, through devotional services like hearing about Him, chanting about Him, remembering Him and rendering various services, that is called Bhakti Yoga. Of all of these, Bhakti Yoga is considered the highest. How is it the highest? The rest of the book will reveal. Okay. So, let's go verse by verse. 33rd verse. Atha chaitvam imam dharmyam sangramam nakarishyasi tataha swadharmam kirtim cha hitva papam avapsyasi atha chaitvam imam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi. If you do not perform your prescribed duty of fighting, sangramam means fighting, na karishyasi means if you don't do, okay, then what will happen? Krishna says two things in this verse. Okay, so tataha swadharmam kirtim cha hitva papam avapsyasi. Hitva means if you give up the fight, papam avapsyasi, you will incur sin. Earlier, Arjuna made an argument. If I do this fighting, I will incur sinful reactions. It is sin to kill so many people in the fight. But Krishna says, if you don't fight, that is your sin. Avoiding your prescribed duty as a kshatriya will bring you sinful reactions. Not by doing your duty as a kshatriya. So you will incur sin if you don't fight, he says. Not only that, he says, that tataha swadharmam kirtim cha, you will also lose your kirti. Kirti means fame, popularity. Okay, that you will lose. So Krishna continues this argument in the 34th verse also. Let's recite that also. Akirtim cha api bhutani kathayishyanti devayam sambhavitasya cha kirtir maranat atirichyate akirtim cha api bhutani kathayishyanti te vayam. So akirtim, people will speak about your akirti or infamy. Kirti is fame, akirti is infamy, right? So kathayishyanti te vayam, kathayishyanti, katha means discussion. Kathayishyanti means people in the outside world, people in general, especially the warriors, they will speak of your infamy. That will become the talk of the town. Oh, you know what? Arjuna has abandoned battle, being such a great Kshatriya, such a great warrior, having so many weapons and all. So he has just left the war. He entered the battle was about to begin, and he ran away. You know that? So like that people will discuss about you. And nobody will consider your analysis that you have presented in the first chapter. So you are fearful of sinful reactions. You are thinking that there is no enjoyment without my relatives, and they are respectable superiors. How can I fight with them? And I am feeling so much compassion for them. I am concerned that the family traditions will be lost. Whatever analysis you have presented, people will not consider all that. So people will not consider that you have left the battle out of compassion. They will think that you have left the battle out of cowardice. You are fearful of fight. Only because of this fear of fighting with Duryodhana, you left the battlefield. That's how people will think about you. Kathayishyanti. They will discuss like this, and your infamy will spread. Right? So, for a respectable person, sambhavitasya cha akirtir maranad atirichyate. For a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. He says. So, you would like to be dishonored like that? So, Krishna is telling Arjuna that, like, Arjuna was a very famous fighter. He could impress Lord Shiva, a great demigod, and get Pashupatastra in his hands through Shiva. And he could also impress Indra. And he killed demon like Nivata Kavacha to help Indra. So like that, Arjuna had a very wonderful track record of being a great warrior. And his fame is well known throughout the world. Okay. So he is the one who pierced that Matsyantra and married Draupadi. No one could do it. There was no bowman. So like that, Arjuna had so many military certificates. And he is the favorite student of Dronacharya. Although Dronacharya has so many disciples, Arjuna was very favorite to him. So when that is the track record of Arjuna, and if he suddenly quits the battle, so people will only discuss about his infamy, and that is very painful to you. Okay. And so a devotional argument, or a better argument, would be that we know the ultimate message of Bhagavad Gita: sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Performing a work that it pleases the Supreme Lord is bhakti yoga. Performing a work, or not performing a work, that is displeasing to the Supreme Lord is bhakti. Okay. So if you do something for the pleasure of God, and if you avoid something because it displeases God, that kind of attitude is bhakti attitude, devotional attitude, right? So that is the ultimate message of Gita. But here Krishna is giving a lesser argument. If you fight, you will be glorious. You will get enjoyment. If you don't fight, you will incur sin. Number two, you will become infamous. So means what? The driving force for him to do the battle is enjoyment and fame. These are ultimately material and external. So how can Krishna give this kind of message? So we need to understand there is a context associated with it. So there are different sections in Bhagavad Gita. So where Krishna speaks, we certain words, and we need to understand the context in which he spoke those words. So this is not the ultimate message. Okay, so Krishna says it will be infamy. So we have to work for fame. If ultimately, if we can get fame from all our activities, that is the best thing. So we cannot conclude like that. Ultimately, what we should do? We should work for Krishna. That is bhakti. We should work for the pleasure of God and devotees. Right? So, that is the ultimate attitude that Krishna would be emphasizing eventually. But in this context, he says, you should fight for enjoyment. You should not avoid fight, because that will cause infamy to you. Okay? So, your enemies will speak so many unkind words about you. Then Krishna is continuing this similar discussion in the next verses. 35. Bhayadu bhayadranadu paratam mamshyante tvam maharathaha yesham chatvam bahumato bhutva yasya silaghavam. Bhayat ranat uparatam, I just mentioned it. The great generals, right, maharathis, they will only think that you have left the battle out of bhaya, fear. Okay. So they disregard you as like a cowardly kind of person, right? They will consider you very insignificant, thinking that you left the battle out of fear, and that is very painful to you. Okay. Next, 36th verse. Avachyavadamscha bahun vadishyanti tavahitaha nindastastava samardhyam tato dukhataram nukim. Avachyavadam, avachya, vachya means the words that are worth speaking. Avachya means they are very harsh words, unkind words, not to be spoken. Avachya vadamsya bahun, they will speak so many unkind words about you. Vadishyanti tava ahitaha, your enemies will speak like that. Vadishyanti means they will speak. Nindastaha tava samarthyam, samarthyam means valor or strength. Nindastaha, they will criticize that. You will encounter ninda, you will encounter papa, you will encounter akirti. These are the results of avoiding fight. If you want to avoid akirti and ninda and papa, better you fight. And you will get swarga. So these are the terminologies that Krishna is using, okay, in this section. So, nindastaha tava samarthyam tato dukhataram nukim. What could be more painful than that ninda? It's very difficult to hear the criticism of other people. Okay, 37th verse. Hatova prapshasi svargam jitvava bhokshase mahiyam tasmadutishtha kaunteya yuddhaya krita nishchaya. Hatova prapshasi svargam, the summary of this entire section Krishna is giving here in the 37th verse. Whatever he has spoken in the last 6 verses, he is summarizing now. Hatova prapsyasi svargam, if you die in the battle, you will attain svarga, heaven. Jitvava bhokshase mahim, jitvava means if you conquer your enemies, if you win in the battle, bhokshase mahim, you will enjoy the earthly kingdom. Tasmad uttishtha kaunteya, therefore, O Kaunteya, O Arjuna, get up. Yuddhaya krita nishchayaha, perform your duty of fighting. Krita nishchayaha means with unwavering mind, with full determination. Okay, nishchayaha, for certainty. So you should certainly fight, because there is benefit either way, whether you die in the battle or whether you win in the battle, there is benefit in both ways. So this is the summary of the entire section. Now Krishna is beginning a new section from the next verse. Okay, 38th verse I will speak and I will stop. Then we will discuss in the next section. 38th verse. Sukha dukhe same kritva labha labhau jaya jayo tato yuddhaya yujyasva naivam papam avapsyasi. Sukha dukhe same kritva. Till now Krishna emphasized that you work, you perform your duty for sukha, for the enjoyment, either in earth or in the heaven. Now Krishna is changing the argument. He is giving a higher principle now. In the last 7 verses, Krishna spoke little lesser principles, and now he is speaking a higher principle than what he spoke earlier. Sukha dukhe same kritva. He has already spoken this in 2.14. Matras parshyastu kaunteya sitoshta sukha dukhada. ఆగమ ఆపాయినో అనిత్య తాం స్థితిక్షస్వ భారత. కృష్ణ స్పోక్ అబౌట్ టాలరేటింగ్ సుఖ అండ్ దుఃఖ ఇన్ ద 14th verse, అండ్ ఇన్ ద 15th verse ఈ సైడ్ ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ ఈక్విపాయిజ్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ హ్యాపీనెస్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రెస్ దెన్ యూ విల్ సర్టెన్లీ బీ ఎలిజిబుల్ ఫర్ లిబరేషన్. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్వేస్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ అండ్ గుడ్ టు కల్టివేట్ దిస్ attitude of equanimity towards dualities. Okay, sukha dukhe same krutva, seeing happiness or distress in a equal note, labha alabhau jaya ajayu. Okay, labha alabha means whether victory, whether gain or loss, jaya ajaya means victory or defeat, happiness or distress, be equipoised. Tato yuddhaya yujyasva, in that attitude perform your duty. Okay, so naivam papam avapsasi, if you work with such a detachment from dualities, then you will not incur sin. So although Krishna mentioned that you will either way enjoy only, in the previous verse, 37th verse, he said హతోవా వా ప్రాప్స్యసి స్వర్గం జిత్వా వా భోక్షసే మహిం. ఇఫ్ యు డై ఇన్ ద బ్యాటిల్ యూ విల్ అటైన్ స్వర్గ, ఇఫ్ యు విన్ ఇన్ ద బ్యాటిల్ దెన్ యూ విల్ అటైన్ ఎర్త్. సో దట్ ఈస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్టిగేటింగ్ ఇన్ వన్ సెన్స్ దట్ ద రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద బ్యాటిల్ వుడ్ బి నైస్, రైట్, వుడ్ గివ్ యూ ఓన్లీ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్. బట్ కృష్ణ మేడ్ ఏ స్మూత్ ట్రాన్సిషన్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ వర్స్ టు నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్ బై స్పీకింగ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ఏ లిటిల్ హయ్యర్ పర్స్పెక్టివ్. Ultimately, whether you gain enjoyment or loss, you should be equipoised. You should have that equanimity. That will give you more happiness. Okay, today I will go to heaven, I will be happy there. Or I will gain here, that is happiness. So you should not be attached to both happiness, both flavors of happiness. Sukha dukhe samaya krutva. Whether you get dukha or sukha, you should be happy performing your duty. Labha labho jaya jayo. Then that's, if you work in that way, then there is absolutely no reason for you to be entangled and incur sin. There is no sin in this. So that's what Krishna says. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that Krishna now directly says that Arjuna should fight for the sake of fighting, because he desires the battle. Krishna desires the battle, ultimately speaking. Okay, so Arjuna should be fighting. There is no consideration of happiness or distress, profit or gain, victory or defeat. So you keep aside all these dualities. What will I get? Will I get happiness or distress? That is not the consideration. Krishna wants you to fight, you fight, then you are fighting for the sake of Krishna. You are not incurring any sinful reactions. Okay, so if you avoid that kind of fight, religious fight, which is being orchestrated directly under the supervision of Krishna, then there is sin. Otherwise there is no sin. So now Prabhupada gives very high principles by quoting 11th canto Nimi Navayugendra Samvad in this. దేవర్షి భూతాప్త నృణాం పితృణాం నాకిం కరో నాయమృణీ చ రాజన్ సర్వాత్మనాయ శరణం శరణ్యం గతో ముకుందం పరిహృత్య కర్తుం. సో దిస్ వర్స్ సేస్ దట్ ఎనీవన్ హూ హాస్ కంప్లీట్లీ సరెండర్డ్ అన్ టు కృష్ణ ముకుంద, గివింగ్ అప్ ఆల్ డ్యూటీస్, సో హీ హాస్ నో డెట్స్. దేవ ఋషి భూత ఆప్త ఋణాం పితృణాం నా కింకరో నాయం రణీచ రాజన్. సో దేవర్, సో దేవ మీన్స్ డెమిగాడ్స్, ఋషి మీన్స్ సేజెస్. దేవర్ ఋషి ఆప్త భూత, ఆప్త భూత మీన్స్ జనరల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్, ఆప్త మీన్స్ వెరీ క్లోజ్ రిలేటివ్స్ అండ్ ఫ్రెండ్స్. ఓకే, నృణాం రెగ్యులర్ పీపుల్, పితృణాం యాన్సిస్టర్స్ ఆర్ ఫోర్ ఫాదర్స్. సో యూఆర్ నాట్ ఒబ్లైజ్ టు ఎనీ వన్ ఇఫ్ వన్ పెర్ఫార్మ్స్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ అన్ టు కృష్ణ. So, but without having devotional attitude, if one thinks that I am oblivious to all obligations, then that is not proper. Okay, so ultimately the fight has to be done because Krishna's order is there. But if you have other lower things also, sakama karma, I want enjoyment, fine, whether you win or lose, you will get enjoyment. So Krishna said this. From the next verse onwards, Krishna will speak about Buddhi Yoga. Thank you all very much. So we'll discuss in the next sections. Hare Krishna. It's a very short section. I don't want to start the next section.